Well, good morning and Happy New Year. Did you enjoy that music? If you like that, you'll want to join us for the Casting Crown concert coming up. Tickets are still available for that, but today is the last day to speak up for those. The concert's not till April. It's in your bulletin. You need to let Barbie know today. You don't have to pay for the tickets today, but you need to let Barbie know today if you want on that list. They have reserved, I think, 50 tickets for us, and over 40 of them have already been spoken for. So if you want to go, let her know. We can probably get some more if they're not all sold out yet. But Casting Crowns, coming in April. What a blessing to start this new decade at MCC, and thank you for joining us here this morning. Winter was just around the corner. All the Indians on the remote reservation asked their new chief, is the winter going to be cold or mild? Well, since he was a new Indian chief of an old tribe in a modern society, he had never been taught the old secrets, the old ways. And when he looked to the sky, he had no clue what the weather was going to be. But nevertheless, to be on the safe side, he replied to his tribe, the winter is indeed going to be cold. And he told the members of the village to collect wood to be prepared for the months ahead. But also, being a practical leader, after several days, he got an idea. He went to a phone booth called the National Weather Service and asked, is the coming winter going to be cold? The meteorologist at the Weather Service Center said, it looks like this winter is going to be quite cold indeed. So the chief, he went back to his people and told them to collect even more wood in order to be prepared. A week later, he called the National Weather Service again. Is it going to be a very cold winter? And the man said, yes, it's going to be very cold this winter. The chief went back to his people and ordered them to collect every scrap of wood they could find. And 2 weeks later, he called the National Weather Service again. Are you absolutely sure that the winter is going to be very cold? Oh, absolutely, the man replied. It's going to be one of the coldest winters ever. How can you be so sure? The chief asked. And the weatherman replied, because the Indians are collecting wood like crazy. The weather seems to be of interest to everyone. The weather has always been important to people. It is especially important to farmers who make a living based on the weather and to those living in Tornado Alley or Hurricane Country. We want to know what to wear when we go outside. We want to know if we should make plans for rain or snow or sunshine. We want to know when this beautiful weather is finally going to turn to winter. We want to know if we're going to have school tomorrow. In short, we want to know what's coming. What's coming? Not only do we have apps on our phone. How many of you have a weather app on your phone? Yeah. I have two. I have AccuWeather, and then I have a radar weather thing that shows not only what's happening here, may happen in a few days, but shows you the systems moving across. Not only do we have those apps on our phone, we watch weather reports right along with the news and sports. And boy, do our weather forecasters battle for the audience. We have the most accurate weather. And one channel boasts a 3-degree guarantee. I'm sorry, but I think that's pretty presumptuous for something we get in percentages. We have a 50% chance of. That's pretty presumptuous for something around here that changes every hour. Despite our weather apps and our Doppler radar, the best forecaster is still nature. Birds, plants, animals, and insects. Many of you know that daisies will close their petals during the day ahead of rain. But you know those ant mounds in the cracks of your sidewalks and driveways? Any of you have those? If rain is on the way, the ants will collapse those mounds inward so rain won't flood their home. So don't go by there and just kick them off. Just watch them. You'll be able to tell if it's going to rain or snow the next day or that day. What about the spiders? You have a spider web outside your window, one window there in the house. Some of us do. You need to know that spiders weave a new web every day. But if it's going to rain, they won't spin a web that day. So if there's no web where there always is one, weather's coming, it's not going to be good. A halo around the sun or the moon means it will rain. The weather determines mood in some people. There truly is such a thing as SAD, S-A-D, seasonal affective disorder. It's often called winter depression. Symptoms often include a lack of energy, increased need for sleep, a craving for sweets, and weight gain. Wow. That sounds like most of us, doesn't it? That sounds like the holidays. And what about that old adage? Red skies at night, sailors delight. Red sky in the morning, sailors take warning. Well, actually, that one is biblical. In Matthew chapter 16, it's recorded this incident. The Pharisees and Sadducees, it says, came to Jesus and tested Him by asking Him to show them a sign from heaven. Now, this is from Jesus. He replied, "When evening comes, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red." Red skies at night, sailors delight. "And in the morning, today it will be stormy, for the red sky, or the sky is red and overcast." Red skies in the morning, sailors take warning. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky. But you cannot interpret the signs of the times. Jesus knew long before we did that when we see a red sky at night, it simply means the setting sun is sending its light through high concentration of dust particles, which usually indicates a high pressure system, stable air coming from the west. Basically, good weather is coming. So when you look on that weather map they show you and you see a high pressure center around us, it's going to be good. On the other hand, a red sunrise is reflecting the dust particles of a system that just passed from the west and typically indicates a stormy system is going to move to the east. Now, Jesus already knew all that. You see, we're simply going where Jesus has already been. And listen, the point of what Jesus is saying is not really about the weather. It is about what's coming. Weather may be important to many people, but the important thing is what is happening spiritually in our world and in your life. Look again at the end of Matthew 16, verse 3. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. Jesus was saying to them, I think, and to us, number one, we must interpret the times, not the seasons. Early in World War II, censorship on weather forecasts were so strict that football and baseball broadcasters were forbidden to give any information about weather conditions over the air for fear that it might be of aid to enemy bombers. On one St. Louis broadcast, Dizzy Dean and his play-by-play partner, Johnny O'Hara, filled a rain delay with over an hour of aimless talk, never mentioning why there was no action on the field. Finally, Dizzy Dean, as O'Hara said, ran out of words. And he said, "If you folks don't know what's holding up this game, just stick your heads out the window." You know, sticking your head out the window is one sure way to determine the weather. And many have often suggested our local meteorologists should do just that. honey, that's not a 70% chance of rain. It is pouring down cats and dogs out there. I often wondered, and I asked one meteorologist, do you guys not have a window in your station? And then I went to the studios to record something for the Living Flag, and I want to tell you, they don't. They don't. There is no window down there where the weather forecast is given. But determining the signs of our time may be a bit harder. Most of us have no trouble finding out what the weather is going to be for the day or the week. But when it comes to knowing what kind of spiritual temptation we will face, we may have trouble figuring that one out. I think we need to have our eyes on the world, but our hearts and our minds in the Word of God. Summing up his troubles as Secretary of State, Dean Rusk told the House Foreign Affairs Committee with a sigh this report. The world is round. Only one third of the people of the world are asleep at any given moment. The other two thirds are awake and probably stirring up mischief somewhere. Somebody, somewhere, is stirring up trouble in this world all the time and in our lives. And we must be alert to what's going on around us. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9 tell us, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. Remember the advice we looked at from the Apostle Paul last week. As we enter this new year, great advice as we enter this new decade, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. The only way I know to be alert in this world and to understand the Lord's will is to be saturated with the Word of God. The psalmist asks and then answers in Psalm 119, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? By following his peers. By listening to his heart. The heart wants what the heart wants. By clinging to every word the preacher says? No, absolutely not. He says, by living according to your word. Sadie is a Labrador retriever. Belongs to Charles Thurber and his family in California. Sadie was ordained as a minister by the Hilltop House Church in San Rafael. The dog's name and $15 were submitted online to the United Life Church in California, and Sadie received her certificate of ordination by return mail. Listen, it's getting pretty bad when a dog can become an ordained minister. But also listen carefully. There are plenty of dogs out there preaching. Self-proclaimed prophets or preachers who are dogs. The Apostle Paul warned us about them nearly 2,000 years ago when he wrote to the church at Philippi, watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh. As we begin to interpret the signs, we should start with the words from Paul in chapter 3 of his second letter to Timothy. Now, I just wrote that. The other scriptures are in your outline there. You do good to go home. How many of you ever been on an airplane ride? You've gone, you know what the pilots do while we're sitting on the tarmac? What do? They're not reading the Dummy's Guide to How to Fly a Plane. If they are, you might want to get another plane. They're going through a checklist. You know what I'm talking about? Having the checklist on everything? Well, I want to do a checklist this morning. We're going to read from Paul's letter, second letter here to Timothy in chapter 3. And if this applies to our lives today, to our world that we're living in today, just say, check. Okay? Mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. Checklist, okay? People will be lovers of themselves. Check. Lovers of money. Boastful. Proud. Abusive. Disobedient to their parents. Somebody went check, check. Two parents in a home, you know. Ungrateful. Unholy. Without love. Unforgiving. Slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, but treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Check. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Check. Loaded down with sins, and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires. Always learning, but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. I have often said America is becoming so educated, we're just going to hell smart. They oppose the truth. They are men of depraved minds who, as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected. Now, there are some signs of our times. He says, there will be terrible times in the last days. This is what the condition of our world will be like in the last days. How many of you believe we're living in the last days? But, he says, as for you, here's our checklist. As for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of. Because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Pretty good checklist there for both of us. Then he goes on to tell us, I think, as we interpret the signs, we must cling to the rock, not the sand. Jesus once asked his disciple who people thought he was. They replied, Matthew 16, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you, he asked. Who do you say I am? And Simon Peter answered, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus, you could just see and feel the joy swell up. Jesus replied, Oh, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man. You're not going to come to that conclusion or realization by listening and following the things of the world. That's not where a saving knowledge of Christ comes from. It came from my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. The story is told of a man, a sailor in a shipwreck, who was thrown upon a rock where he clung to it in great danger until the tide went down. A friend later asked him, Jim, didn't you shake with fear when you were hanging on to that rock? And he answered, Yes, but the rock didn't. Jesus said, I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Jesus is our rock. He is our hope, and we must cling to Him and to His Word not the shifting sands of the things of this world. So what is coming? What is the forecast for the future? Well, I can tell you three things for sure. Number one, death is coming. Or, if we are so blessed, the rapture, which means Jesus is coming. So death or Jesus is coming. You ready? The Hebrew writer tells us people are destined to die once. That's our destiny. We're all dying. With our first breath, we begin the countdown to our last breath. The psalmist wrote, "All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." Now that's not to discount or to downplay the many situations that fill the days we call life. The good things, the bad things. The good news, the bad news. The celebrations, the tragedies. The achievements and the disappointments. It's simply to say this. While we spend a lot of time looking forward and planning for things like graduations and marriage, our new job, our promotion, the birth of our children and our grandchildren, buying our first house, or even retirement, we also need to be looking even further ahead to our death. Because death is coming. And after death, what's coming is the judgment. Look again at Hebrews 9:27. People are destined to die once, and after that, to face judgment. That's two appointments in the future we will all keep. And we will keep it at our appointed time. You will not be able to call ahead to this great physician and say, "I need to postpone this appointment." Jesus was teaching his disciples about the end of times, and he says in Matthew 25, again it's referenced in your outline there, he says in Matthew chapter 25, "When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him," can you picture that? "When the Son of Man comes with all of His angels with Him in glory, He will sit on His glorious throne." You see that? "All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left." Keep that picture in mind, because as John was nearing the end of the Revelation, he records this scene. Revelation chapter 20. "Then I saw a great white throne and Him who was seated on it." Who's that? "The earth and the heavens fled from His presence and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and each person was judged according to what they had done." I'm going to have a little fun with you here. There are those who believe and even teach that when we stand before the great white throne of judgment, there will be these books that have the record of our lives, what we've said and done. And there's somehow going to be a big screen like these, even bigger, that will flash my life before you for all to see. And then I will be judged for all that I have said and done. Now you're thinking, when Pastor David's life comes up, we're going to pull up a lounge chair. Going to bring a little popcorn. This is going to be good. Let me disappoint you now. If, and that is a ridiculous if, that's the way things are going to happen, here's what you're going to see. The Bible says, the day I accepted Jesus' sacrificial death on my behalf, the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Barbie and Marianne can tell you this morning, I've been singing, "Oh, happy day," all morning. Oh, happy day. Why? Jesus washed my sins away. They are covered by the blood of Christ. Now, unfortunately, a whole lot of my life is going to look like that because He has forgiven and covered so much of it with His blood. Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. My sins are forgiven. Psalm 103 verse 12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Please understand the eternity in that, because east will never meet west. However, it's going to be another story for those who would dare stand before the throne in their own defense of sin. Then He will say to those on His left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Following the return of Jesus or our death, following the judgment, will be eternity. Then, Matthew tells us, they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Eternity awaits every one of us. That's what's coming. You will spend eternity either in smoking or non-smoking, but it will be for eternity. An eternity of wailing and gnashing of teeth, an eternity of torment and anguish, or an eternity of no more pain, no more suffering, no more heartache, no more sorrows, no more death, no more disease, no more crippling things to happen to our bodies and our minds. It will be so glorious that the Apostle Paul says, I reckon that I like that. That tells me he was Southern. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, and he's not downplaying our sufferings of this present time. They're all terrible, or many of them are terrible, and he knew what terrible present times were like. Remember all of his troubles. He had been shipwrecked and been without food. He had been beaten. He had been left for dead. He had received 40 stripes several times. He knew what the sufferings of this present time were. But he said, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Picture that. For eternity. See why I've been singing, oh, happy day all morning? Here's the bottom line. The choice of where you will spend eternity, it's all yours. You get to choose. Listen carefully. Many of you have probably seen this on Facebook. Hell will not be filled with people God rejected. Hell will be filled with people who rejected God. Because God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, believeth in Him shall not perish, but have eternal, everlasting life. Choice is yours. So here's our takeaway. Be ready. Be ready. Cause ready or not, He comes. Matthew 24 tells us, therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready. Because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect Him. Now, I'm not saying this morning, stop looking forward to the many wonders this new year has in store. Don't stop looking for the endless possibilities before each of us. But as you look for what's coming, as you hope and plan for what's coming, expand your preparations to eternity. You must be ready because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect Him. Begin your preparations, if you have not already, with Peter's instructions. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. Every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And when we pull up our chairs to watch your life flash on that screen, we're going to see the same thing. Oh, happy day when Jesus washed our sins away. Father God, this morning, we thank You that while we are facing a new year, a new decade, we are facing the unknown. We don't know what's going to happen day to day in our lives and in our world. But we do know, if we will read Your Word, we do know what is coming in the scheme of time. And we're told to watch for the signs of the times. And what is coming is either our death or the rapture. Either our death is going to call us to You, or You're going to come and get us. That's for sure. After that, another certainty of what's coming is a judgment. We're all going to stand before that great white throne. And we will either stand there laid bare with no defense of our own, or we will stand there before that great white throne, forgiven, cleansed, our sins covered with the blood of Christ. And we will stand there anxious to hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of my rest." And Father, we also know that what that means is eternity will begin. Eternity's coming. And while we can lay aside money and we can lay aside other things as we prepare and plan for graduations, for marriage and honeymoons and weddings and all kinds of things, there's only one way to prepare for eternity. And that needs to be on our list of preparations as well. We need to be ready. The only way to do that is to be right with God. You have not only reconciled this world to Yourself through the blood of Jesus Christ, but You have given us that ministry of reconciliation. Help us to tell the world Jesus is coming. Be ready. Be ready. Be ready. In Jesus' name, amen.